to the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew there right in front of you. James is towards the back of the Bible, right after Hebrews, right before 1 Peter. And you can use the index in the front to spot the page there. James chapter 5. And as is our custom, let's read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. You read the even-numbered verses with me through verse number 6. James chapter number 5, and then verses 1 through 6. It says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." Father, again, please bless your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And we mentioned last week that this is the third time that James deals with the subject of riches. In chapter 1, verse number 10, he talks about the rejoicing of the humbling of the man of riches. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he refutes the superior treatment of somebody with riches. Now listen, everybody that comes into this church ought to be treated the same. Whether they're wearing jeans and a t-shirt or a nice suit, we believe in treating everybody the same. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, and we're not to be a respecter of persons. And so, he's talking about riches here for the third time. And last week, we gave you some warnings about riches or money. Okay? And we talked about how money can cause us, first of all, to forget God. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 10 through 12, God specifically told Israel when they came into that promised land and He gave them so much, don't forget God. Why? Because it's natural. Remember the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3? You know what their problem was? They thought they were increased in riches and had need of nothing. But they were miserable and poor and blind and naked, God said, in His eyes, okay? So, riches can cause us to forget God. Riches can cause us to act dishonestly. Remember, we talked about the servant there in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 20 through 27. Okay, Gehazi, that servant, and how he became leprous. Money can cause us to be overcome with the sin of covetousness. You say, "Pastor, what is covetousness?" The best definition I've heard about covetousness is just the itch for more. You know, somebody asked John Rockefeller one time, they said, "How much money is enough?" John Rockefeller said, "One more dollar." I think that's the definition of covetousness right there. Just always got to have more. Always got to have more. It's always got to be more. Covetousness. It can happen with riches. It really... How many times, ladies and gentlemen, have you heard... And listen, I'm not for playing the lottery. I think it's just as wrong as could be. I've got scriptural reasons for that. I don't want to debate it or anything like that. How many times have you heard of somebody winning the lottery and just a couple of years later, they're as broke? Yep. I mean, they're on the street broke. Covetousness, okay? Then the fourth thing we looked at, money can cause us to forget God, it can cause us to act dishonestly, it can cause us to be overcome with covetousness, it can cause us to have many sorrows by loving it. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. If God has blessed you with money, it doesn't mean you're evil. Come on, church, amen? It does not mean you're evil. There were several people in the Bible, very wealthy. Abraham and Job come to mind, okay? Did right with their riches, amen? But it can, if we love the money, it can cause many sorrows. Okay, we're going to talk tonight about, last week was the warnings about money. We're going to talk tonight about some wisdom about money. As your pastor, those of you that are members of the church and those of you that are guests, we're glad to have you tonight. But as your pastor, I want to give you some Bible wisdom about money. Go to Malachi chapter 3 in your Bibles. We're going to run the references tonight. Malachi chapter number 3, and many of you know exactly what Malachi 3 says, but we're going to look at it anyway, amen. Malachi chapter number 3, and verses 8 through 10, as soon as the preacher would get there, that'd be nice, amen. Malachi, that's in the Old Testament, right? Amen, amen. Malachi chapter number 3, and then verse number 8 says, the Word of God says, will a man rob God? And by the way, the answer to that is yes. Yes, it happens every week of the world. Amen. And will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. Ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then God gives us some wisdom about money. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And I love the back half of this verse. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says this, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verses 1 and 2 says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. The first wisdom I could give you about money is tithe. Tithe. You say, what is the tithe? The tithe is the first 10% of your income set aside for God. The tithe is the Lord's. And I know I'm the preacher, but I wasn't always the preacher. I sat where you're sitting. And I remember the struggle that went on in my life about tithing. What do you mean God wants 10% of my money? What do you mean God wants 10%? Listen, by the way, God has given you 100% of your money. Amen. And your talents, and your abilities, and amen, and amen, and amen. Tithe. And listen, it is no more basic than this. Tithe. Why? Because God said so. Amen. And because He promised blessings to the tither. Yep. If you have realized blessings because of tithing, say amen. 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 I have. I'm telling you, the back half of that verse, we always focus on the front half. Oh, tithe. He said, check the back half of that verse. Yep. He will pour you out a blessing. By the way, that doesn't mean that money's going to start flying off the trees like my green leaves right now are not turning into money. Amen. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of blessings that can't be bought with money. That God gives to us, amen. Like peace, Mama Holland, amen. Like peace. The tither, number one. You want wisdom about money? Tithe. Secondly, piece of wisdom about money. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and then we're going to go to Philippians 4. Sometimes we move through the Scriptures and other times we take our time and run the verses. And boy, this is just a subject where it's good to run the verses. It's good to take your Bible and just mark it. I remember for years, my first couple of years of being saved, I never put a nick in my Bible. I never did. I said, bless God, this is the Word of God. And I'm not supposed to add to it, and I'm not supposed to take away from it. And what I did was I bought these little sticky notes like this. And the next thing you know, my Bible was about this fat, amen, because it had sticky notes and the binding was breaking, amen. And then, praise God, got me one of these wide margins, amen, and been making notes in the margin ever since. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you know anything about 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, there's a particular subject that it's dealing with, amen, and it's missions. Missions. What's missions? It's getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. And if you look at verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That is a God principle right there. No matter what, if you're sowing corn and you sow bountifully, come harvest time, you'll reap bountifully. Amen? If you plant a ton of apple trees, eventually you're going to get 2 tons of apples. Amen? But then God tells us exactly what He's talking about. In verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Talking about giving here. Talking about money. Philippians chapter 4. If you would, look at verse number 13. Philippians chapter... We love verse 13, don't we? Amen. Verse 19, too, of Philippians chapter 4. But there's a whole bunch of verses in between, Brother Jeff. Amen. And they kind of condition those verses to us. Verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Aren't you glad for that on Monday morning when you go to work? "I will not choke my boss this morning because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Amen. Then verse 14 says, "Notwithstanding," he's speaking to the church at Philippi here, "ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." He's praising them. Why? Because when Paul the missionary was sent out, the church at Philippi sent him a missions offering. Then it says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift." This is, boy, this is a pastor's heart right here. "Not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The first piece of wisdom about money that I can give you is, number one, tithe. The second piece of wisdom that I can give you, and it's practical wisdom, my wife and I have proved it over and over, is give cheerfully to missions. Give cheerfully to missions. Why? Because when you give to missions, you say, "God, I am serious about what you are serious about." And I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God is serious about getting the gospel to the ends of the earth. He is serious about bringing the gospel to people that have never heard it and would never hear it without your dollars. Amen. I thank God for the 26 missionaries that we support. I talked to Brother Rewersma today. Little Noah's doing okay. That he broke his thumb there. He's doing okay. I praise God. Brother Rewersma, I said, "How you doing on your support?" He said, "We're at 40%. Amen. And we've kind of steamrolled. We've gained 10% in the last month." I said, "Praise God. That guy wants to get to England and blaze a trail there." Amen. Cheerfully give to missions. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 5, the third piece of wisdom about money, particularly for us men. But it's still a good piece of wisdom God gives us about money. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And if you look at verse number 8, it tells us something about money. It says, "But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That is a strong verse. Amen. You know what it tells us? The third piece of wisdom: provide for your family. Amen. Men, and all God's men said, amen. Provide for your family. Amen. There was a day where men would work three jobs to provide for their family. Amen? Some of you are beneficiaries of dads that did that. Amen? You know, that's biblical. Provide for your family. I thank God for those of you men that work hard. I mean, you get out there and work hard. You get up early and you get home late and you provide for your family. And all God's women said, amen. Thank God for those men. Amen. So provide for your family. Give cheerfully to missions. Tithe. Number four, go to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Psalm chapter 41. And there's a cross reference there that I will find. Psalm chapter 41, and look at verse number 1. When you get there, oh, praise God, there's water here. Psalm chapter 41, we there, amen? And look at verse 1, it says, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." The cross reference is in Proverbs 19:17. Let me read it to you. It says, "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will pay him again." The fourth bit of wisdom I'd like to give you about money is be a blessing to the poor. Be a blessing. Listen, I know this and you know this. There's a lot of people that scam. Amen? It's okay to say amen. There's a lot of people that scam. I've joked sometimes, you see people holding the sign and it says, will work or whatever. And then on the back it says, made in China, $9.99. You know, that's a fake sign, amen, that somebody went and bought. But there are people, honestly, that are out there. We've helped people before. You've helped people before. And you know what, Brother Holy, sometimes they were scamming. But my heart wasn't scamming. And God knew my heart. And those promises that we read, they hold true. He that considereth the poor lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. Amen. Of course, be discreet. Be prayerful about it. Yeah. But be a blessing. You know what? Sometimes those folks really are on hard times. I remember, and I didn't have any money on me. There's times where I do. There's times where I don't. There's times when I pass folks by. I remember seeing a man in the Walmart parking lot. They had a sign to something of the effect of, "Lost my job," and Brother Travis, and he had three of his little kids there with him. That's humbling. Yeah. That's humbling. That could happen to any one of us.
Yeah.
Amen? So be a blessing. You want some good money advice? You want some good wisdom advice? Be a blessing to the poor. By the way, it doesn't always have to be monetary. Sometimes those folks, especially in the coming months, I'll go down and get them a bowl of soup and give it to them and with a gospel tract.
Yep.
With a gospel track, amen, and something, maybe something, just a hot cup of coffee as they're sitting out there, you know, be a blessing. Be a blessing. I always try to put myself in their place. Amen. I remember when I went to the Philippines, it was impossible to put myself in their place. Impossible to think about it. So be a blessing to the poor. That's good wisdom about money. Let me give you another one here. Oh boy, this is a good one. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. So be a blessing to the poor. Provide for your family. Give cheerfully to missions. Tithe. Proverbs chapter 22. And verse number 7. Verse number 7. It says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." Do your best to stay out of debt. Do your best to stay out of debt. Now listen, I tell young people that come to me for marriage counseling, either the ones that come to me before wedding, or sometimes folks will come to me afterwards. And I'm going to tell you the three biggest contributors to marriage troubles. You ready? Here they are.
Money.
Income, intimacy, and in-laws. Especially the third one. Eh? Butt out, Mom. He left the house. Cut the cord. Amen. But I'll tell you what, income, particularly, and I always tell them, Brother Lowell, I say, stay away from high interest loans and credit cards. You know why? They will strangle you down in debt to the point where you're just making minimum payments and all you're doing is treading water, not getting anywhere. Yeah, that's right. And so do your best. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. Listen, I believe that there's equitable debt. Brother Case and I were talking about that the other night. I believe a home is certainly equitable debt. Amen. But do your best. These little things that can be like the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. Do your best to stay out of debt. Let me give you one more, and then we'll close tonight. One more. And that would be, look at Proverbs chapter 17, 18. Proverbs chapter 17, 18. This is a huge one. It goes throughout Proverbs. You see it several times in Proverbs 17, 18. And it goes right along with do your best to stay out of debt. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 18. It says, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. Okay, jump over if you would to Proverbs 22, and it explains that a little bit more. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. And we'll give you this last point, and then we'll close her up. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. It says, be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? The last piece of wisdom that we'll look at tonight, and we'll look at a few more next week, but is do not assume another's debt. Do not take on another's debt. Folks, that is, we live in a day where credit is mixed up. Amen. How many of you have figured that out? Amen. Boy, I got to get good credit, so I got to open up all these credit cards and I got to do this. And what happens? People get swallowed up in it. And then somebody comes along and says, well, I'll co-sign for your debt. You own that debt.
Right.
The moment you do that, you own. And the Bible says, don't. 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 Amen. It can cause so many problems. Do not take on somebody else's debt. Some wisdom about money tonight. Tithe, give cheerfully to missions, provide for your family, be a blessing to the poor, do your best to stay out of debt, do not assume another's debt. Boy, I'm really, really going to get in trouble with the first point next week. I'll give it to you right now. It's pay your taxes. We need to pray. Amen. Father, thank you for your blessing upon us. Thank you for your goodness. We pray that you would bless now as we prepare to have our invitation and go into our business meeting, Father. We just pray that you would please, Lord, smile upon us. Lord, help all things to be done decently and in order. Lord, I just pray that you would please have your hand upon us now. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, grab your hymnal.